Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender USDA choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the news, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes cartoons, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes Florida Man, doo-doo-doo-doo.
3, 2, 1, and I think you're about to scream.
Read all about it!
Yes!
I can't scream because I'm in a hotel room lobby.
You're not in a room, man.
I'm in, what the fuck city? I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. I got here
Let's slow it down. Let's slow down all our momentum. Talk about your hotel.
All right. So I'm in my hotel, and the Wi-Fi is not working. So I call the lady at the front desk, who's a low talker. And the person in front of me kept saying to her, say that again, excuse me. And then I get up there, and I'm hard of hearing. So it takes me five times asking her what to say. But turns out she's absolutely lovely.
Did you slow talk for her? Were you like, oh, listen, I ordered a room with porn and you gave me one that doesn't have it.
There's no lotion in the room. There actually isn't. There's no lotion in the fucking room. That's the new thing the hotels are doing. They're putting the shampoo and the shower gel and the conditioner on the wall in the shower. Great. All for that. I've always thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
But then they stopped putting fucking lotion out on the sink and only 3 hand towels. I can't get through a weekend with only 3 hand towels.
I was getting graphic. Hey, yeah. I have a question for you. Yeah. Do you find, like, with that moisturizer and everything, that it's there's a stinging also?
Little bit. I like it.
Oh, jeez. Okay. I think it's probably, you know, one of those hyaluronic acids or whatever that helps moisturize. I don't know what's going on. I don't like it.
All I know is when I come off the road, I have the softest shaft skin that you can imagine.
All right. You could have just said softest skin.
Anyway.
I kept it very vague. I don't know if you noticed that effort.
So the low talker, first of all, I go...
I thought it was slow.
No,
sorry.
Low talker. So I go into the gym just to check it out because I'm going to work out later, and it's about 105 degrees. So I went over and I said, excuse me, can you have them turn down the heat in the gym? No problem. We'll take care of
it. Oh, wow.
And then I'm in the room and the Wi-Fi is not working. And so she brings me down the hall to a conference room that I'm in right now. Look at this. I'm in a fucking conference room.
And then she removed all the moisturizer and tissues.
Can you imagine what the porn looks like on this big screen TV in the conference room?
You look like a boss, man. You're at the head of the table with your imaginary board of directors.
This might be the only time I'm at the head of a table. No, sometimes when you pitch... You ever pitch a TV show and you go into the big conference room and you're only pitching to like one person and they sit like halfway down the table?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. I miss the old days.
I wonder if it's like this with outside of our industry, but I mean, Zooms, I mean, unless there's some reason to be really in the room, the Zoom pitches and meetings, I mean, I'm not driving to Disney and Burbank and also... All meetings have become so much more punctual. Like if you're not clicking into a Zoom on the minute of like 12:20, then you're late.
Yeah, but don't you find that you're able to sell easier when you're in the room and you can charm them a little bit and make them laugh?
That's the line I have to walk because I am good in the room. And I remember UTA telling me that. They're like, no, we want you in the room for this one.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they'd say like, this is a low probability. I think they're taking it, you know, because they're doing their due diligence. I don't think they're in a place to buy it. So let's do that one Zoom. And
yeah.
I did like that thinking a lot.
So I'm in Raleigh. I got here today. I was in LA for the fires, left and went to Wisconsin for last weekend, and it was 3 degrees below zero at the Comedy Cabin. And then I flew to New York on Sunday, got to LaGuardia after a 3-hour delay leaving Chicago, which is where I flew out of. We got to LaGuardia. They shut the airport right underneath us. And so we circled for like an hour. And this motherfucking pilot, he kept going over Manhattan, like to show us Manhattan, but he was going about 50 yards above the top of the Empire State Building. And I started to have such trauma. I honestly thought we'd been hijacked and this guy was going to put the fucking plane in the side of a building. It was so scary. It was crazy.
That sounds more like a helicopter.
So then we go off to Boston. They're like, we're going to have to go to Boston. So we had to sleep in Boston that night in some shit hotel, come back to the airport, 2.5-hour delay to get to New York. And then I get there and it's colder than Wisconsin. It was insane.
Yeah, I had you beat. We're going to talk about the snow. I mean, the footage of people playing jazz on Bourbon Street in the snow is that's something like in a futuristic movie or some weird movie, like where all the animals have just gotten out of the zoo and are running around a city. And then also on Bourbon Street, they're playing jazz in the snow. It's like, what is happening?
Wow.
I had you beat, though. This is not factoring in wind chill. This is the car. I was in Wyoming, and can you read the temperature?
Negative 20?
Negative 20, and that's on a street. That's not even wind chill. Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't ski in that temperature.
I didn't. I have before. I told you that time where
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a crazy light jacket, but it was Gore-Tex and then I had layers under it, but it kept me warm. Anyway, no, it was, if there was snow, good enough snow, I would have, but they really haven't had snow in 3 weeks. I think it was supposed to then snow now. Do you know we're getting snow here in LA tonight?
No. L.A.? Los Angeles?
The low mountains might be getting over 6 inches of snow.
Holy shit.
And, of course, they're talking about flooding. What do they call it? Oh, in the scar. I think they're calling them, like, scar zones or something. And it's like, if you're getting this rain, because it's obviously rain everywhere below, like, 4,000 feet or something. And they're like, if you're in a scar, I think it's a zone, you beware of the mudslides.
Perfect.
Also, all the toxicity that everyone here is talking about, right? It's actually now boring how much people are talking about. So many people in LA wearing masks, and now all that toxic ash, all the burned up batteries, whatever the biggest culprits are. Asbestos, lead, all of it. It is going to rain. The Palisades is, as people everywhere now know, a hill. It's the foothills that lead to really significant, like, Santa Monica Mountains. And it is going to rain, and all that rain goes into the sewers, and the sewers in all of Los Angeles are unfiltered. They go right into the ocean. So this should be interesting.
Surfer won't stop the surfers. They'll still go out.
Yeah, well, I mean, the saying used to be, like, it's great surf if you have health insurance, because right after rains, it used to just be the animal feces you were worried about. We've added human feces to that.
Because
if they go in the street, it goes in the ocean.
Ugh.
Fun times
in
LA.
Fun times, can't wait to get back. So I was in, went to my sister's. Well, I did Bobby Kelly's podcast.
I love that guy. I don't know him. I love him, though.
He's so fucking funny. And we went in, and I go into his little studio, and I walk in, and then he farts. And it was so intense that I honestly was so nauseous that I had water rushing into my mouth. You know when you're about to vomit and the water rushes in
your
mouth?
Sounds like you got hungry.
And then he did it again during the podcast. Disgusting. I said, look, if you're going to fart again, you need to leave the studio. Not just leave the studio. I want you in the hallway and pull your pants down around your ankles so that you're not trapping the fart in your underwear and your pants. And so he went outside and he dropped trowel. And he came back in. I go, did you take your pants down? He goes, Yeah, he goes, the hard part was taking the tights down. I go, what do you mean tights? He goes, you know, like thermal underwear. I go, who the fuck calls them tights? What are you, a ballerina? You said tights?
Yeah, I got my fireman tights on, you know. That's what they call it in the firehouse, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, and then I went up and I did some shows in Nyack, New York. Went to my friend Kyle. My friend Kyle, did I tell you this, that he won Supreme Court justice in New
York? Yes, you did. Wait, I want to interrupt you blatantly right now just for one reason. I want to tease that in a couple of minutes, we're going to have Tom O'Neill on to talk about Trump releasing the JFK documents.
Tom O'Neill, author of Chaos, which if you haven't read it, run, don't walk to your Amazon and order it right now.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about it when he comes on. But he tried to see all of them for years, tried to get special exceptions, was in the archives. He predicted last time Trump released them that he wouldn't release all of them. He turned out to be right. Anyway, I saw that he just texted. But all right, back though to
So
tights.
I go to Kyle's party celebrating
right, your friend
who's
a judge.
His Supreme Court justice appointment. And it was all these guys that I grew up with in Tarrytown over the years. Like, you know, Johnny Trouble was there and Georgie Spags. And they were just like, not the kid. Like, when we were young, they were all fucking crazy, you know? And now I'm talking to George Spags and he's like, you know, I have a really good pension fund. I was at one company and I got a pension there. And then I made partner. And it's just like, dude, shut up. Get a tall boy. Punch Brian Van Horn in the face like the
old
days.
You should be in jail.
You should be, what is this? But it was a good party. And then I had about 50 people come to one of my shows, like 50 of my friends and family. My cousins came from like, one was up from Virginia. Some of them came from Long Island and took like connecting trains. One rented a car from Jersey. And it was really nice. And we all came out. We had dinner before the show. And then I went up and bombed.
No,
I did well.
Oh, good.
It would have been really embarrassing to bomb.
Yeah, I know. Impressive lot of guys. Those derelicts really turned it around.
Yep, I know. And a guy who's friends with Joe Tenetti was there.
Come on.
Yeah.
How do we know this?
You know him, but I can't remember his name, but he's good friends with Joe Tenetti because he came up after the show and introduced himself.
Wait, what city is this in?
In West Nyack, New York, in Rockland County.
Huh.
Anyway.
Not Shimkin?
Wasn't Shimkin. No, I remember Shimkin.
Yeah.
Huh. By the way, speaking of the fires, I forgot to mention, last week I announced that I was going to give out my son's best friend, his house burned down, and it was three generations of family living there. And they were what you'd call a house. They had house money, but that was it. And now the house is gone. And so, there's a GoFundMe and I wanted to ask you guys, if you have it in your heart and you want to help a family that is literally homeless right now to at least get some rent money together, go to the, Salzmans Recover Their Lives on GoFundMe, SALZMAN. Salzman's Recover Their Lives on GoFundMe. I think they've raised like 60 grand. They're looking for 70. Whatever you can spare would be much appreciated. All right, that's it. And I'm going to link it on my site. There'll be a link on my site to it. The logo this week comes from Laith Nabilsi. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Love it. Kelly Kahn did a very nice a cappella song for us this week. Again, this is what we say, like, she happens to have an incredible voice, but you don't need a full orchestra. You play the guitar, great. You play the drums, sing a song with the drums behind. We don't give a shit. Just have fun.
Right.
So make a song, send it in to fitzdogradio@gmail.com. Corrections this week. This is from Amy. Art history major here. Correction from this week's episode.
Oh boy.
The Hudson Valley Church stained glass was designed by Henri Matisse and Marc Chagall. I had said it was Cézanne.
Wow, though. That's impressive, Chagall. And the other guy probably equally as impressive.
Yeah. then another guy named Greg said, you said Joseph was a shepherd. There are exactly two details the Bible tells us about Joseph. He was a carpenter and he was a cuck. How did a nice Catholic schoolboy like you get that wrong? Also, when you told Mike that Paul Cézanne was born in 1839, you said he must have designed the stained glass in a church near your hometown in, quote, 18th century. 1839 is the 19th century. After you said that, Mike paused. It sounded like he was about to correct you, but decided to let it go.
You're welcome.
First of all, why is the 1800s in the 19th century? It doesn't make sense. It's like saying, well, I'm 34, so I'm in my 20s.
Why do we park in driveways and drive on parkways?
Why is the soap so small in the bathroom, in the shower?
I'm surprised Bergazzi hasn't done that one. Like, and the 1900s will be called the 19th century, sir. If only it were that simple. You know, when he has that new character, he's doing like crazy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, you haven't seen where he plays George Washington. We will not use metrics. We will use pounds. We'll use feet and miles. How many feet in a mile, sir? No one knows. Oh, you have to see them. He's done it 3 times now.
All right.
He's done it 2 SNLs. They're very good. And then he did a Christmas special at the Grand Ole Opry, and he played Jesus. And Jesus came out and talked about, and it's all the dumb things we have, exactly like you're saying. Wait, I just want to go back. I think you mispronounced. I was like looking at text from Tom. Matisse and Chagall did the windows in that church. I said the other guy. It's Matisse. Oh, my God. Those are two Grand Slam hitters that did that Hudson Valley Church or the stained glass.
It was Rockefeller's. David Rockefeller, not David, John D. Rockefeller hired them to do it.
So it didn't always go well with artists for John D. The famous mural in 30 Rock, which they've had to cover up and change.
Why?
All right, you go on and talk about your tour dates while I look you up this story quickly.
Tour dates, but it's tonight, great. If you're listening to this podcast on the 26th, I will be in Raleigh, North Carolina at the Improv. Milwaukee next weekend, January 31st through February 2nd at the Improv. Vegas at Brad Garrett's, February 10th through the 16th. Fontana, California at Stage Red, February 22nd. Then I'll be in Atlanta. Hollywood, we got the St. Paddy's Day show at the Improv March 15th. Also coming to Ontario, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Boston. All tickets at fitzdog.com.
He commissioned Diego Rivera and then to do a mural. And Rivera had his own ideas for the mural and basically created what was considered, I'm not finding the article here, but this is off the top of my head. Basically, A Man at the Crossroads, that's what it was, by Diego Rivera, which many felt was an indictment against capitalism.
Oh, interesting.
Commissioned by John D. Rockefeller.
I love it.
Three-paneled artwork. They approved the fresco's idea, showing the contrast of capitalism as opposed to communism. However, they complained about the piece, calling it anti-capitalist propaganda because he added images of Vladimir Lenin and a Soviet May Day parade. When they were discovered by Nelson Rockefeller, at the time the Rockefeller Center wanted Rivera to remove the portrait of Lenin, but Rivera was unwilling to do so. So he plastered over it. Anyway, it's a fascinating story. I think there's even a movie. Clearly, there's documentaries about it, but I think there's a movie about it as well.
Hmm. All right.
There you go.
Yeah, all right, Nelson, can we get a crinkle? Should we start this?
Not John D. Yes, I still have my map of Amsterdam here. Let's do this. There it is.
All right, and we're off. So
everything will be revealed. On Thursday, Trump signed an executive order to release the JFK assassination files, promising everything will be revealed. That's a big one, huh? The president said as he signed the order, a promise he made to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., his Secretary of Health and Human Services nominee and the nephew of JFK. A lot of people are waiting for this for years, for decades. Everything will be revealed, Trump then repeated. Trump released a portion of the JFK files during his first term in the White House, but now the last files that remained under the seal are due to be released to the public. So that's quite a promise to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Meanwhile, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., RFK, just said, hey, can you promise me, I just want one promise. Can you like not take any more vaccines? He's like, you know what? I'd rather release the most secret documents on planet Earth. Can I make you that promise? That's what I'm going to do for you. Don't stop my vaccines. They kept me alive.
All right. So we got this guy is not a conspiracy theorist. Our friend Tom O'Neill, author of the book Chaos, which talks about the Manson murders, but also sort of it goes into the Kennedy assassination and how Jolly something. What was the guy's name?
Jolly. It was Jolly.
Jolly something. Anyway,
West?
Jolly West, right. So about how Jolly West was this guy who could, you know, dose people with acid and make them go insane, and that he visited Jack Ruby, who was the guy who killed hold on, I'm pulling it up.
What are you calling him, Jolly West?
Jolly West, I think.
Oh, no, no. He was the guy, he went down and he signed in, they have the records and all this, and he visited Jack Ruby down in the Dallas prison, I'm pretty sure it was Dallas prison, after killing Lee Harvey Oswald, that's where Ruby was. And
right, hold on, Mike.
Ruby was never the same again. Oh yeah, Tom won't be able to
Tom's
hear me.
On the
so
phone. Hello, Tom.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. Can you hear Mike?
No.
I think I heard him. Like it sounds like he's in an echo chamber, but okay. Yeah, I hear him.
All right. So I'll lead the interview. First of all, how are you, Tom?
Oh, I'm fine, Greg. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not in L.A. with these goddamn fires, and now there's going to be mudslides.
I know. It looks like it's just about to start pouring. Stay wherever you are and don't come back.
No. I got to get out. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. I got to get out of here. So.
Oh, yeah. They got hurricanes there. So
big news. John F. Kennedy's papers, now is it the Warren Report? What's being released exactly?
The CIA files, the classified files.
Okay.
Of their investigation and the documents they had on Oswald prior to the assassination.
Okay.
My prediction is Tom will say, like he did last time, even though more is being released than last time, it's still the juiciest parts the public will never see. That's my prediction.
Don't know, but I don't trust the CIA. You know, when they did the Warren Commission investigation, they withheld information and they lied to them. They did the same thing when they had the second House Select Committee investigation. Why we can give them the benefit of the doubt now and think they'll release anything incriminating? You know, I just don't. I'm hopeful, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm not even sure that Trump hasn't just done this as a publicity stunt. He's only put the process in motion. You know, he had the opportunity to do it in 2017, which he said he'd do, and then he didn't. And if you believe Tucker Carlson, that's a big if, he said that Mike Pompeo told Trump he should never release this stuff because it incriminates the government and the assassination. And that's why Trump didn't do it in 2017. That's what Tucker Carlson said. Mike Pompeo told him.
So is it your belief that the CIA was involved in the Kennedy assassination?
Yeah. But the caveat is I'm not the best expert on the Kennedy assassination. All I really know about that I have original reporting on is that the CIA interfered with Jack Ruby when he was in custody and sent one of their doctors to basically obliterate his memory. which implicates them in a cover-up. But I don't know all the stuff about the second gunman, the bullets. I'm just, you know, a layperson in that area. I kind of stick to my lane.
But Jolly West was the doctor they sent, right?
Yeah, yeah, who infiltrated the security about the person they called the most important witness in the Warren Commission investigation, because he was the person who silenced the suspected assassin by shooting him.
Yeah, it seems to me that
he was the most important.
It seems that if there were any records that could implicate the government, they would have been gotten rid of by now.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine they would just keep that stuff in there. But, you know, they did release some of the file in 2022. Biden allowed it, but he also did the same thing Trump did. He then put the brakes on it. But some of the revelations in those documents contradicted what the CIA had maintained for 60 years, which is they had no advance information or knowledge of Oswald when it turned out they'd been surveilling him for at least 2 years prior.
Got it.
So there could be stuff in there scattered around that's like, you know, a jigsaw puzzle that you can put together, but I don't think there's going to be a smoking gun where Alan Dulles, there's an order from Alan Dulles to set up Oswald in the book depository as a patsy when their trained assassins shoot Kennedy from the grassy knoll or something like that. I don't think there's going to be an execution plan in that.
Okay. All right. Tom O'Neill is our guest. And do you want to promote your documentary that's coming out?
Touchy subject. We're gonna promote it. It's high profile. Are we allowed to say that he has mixed feelings about it?
Yeah, he's mixed, and we'll get into it. Tom will come on around the time that the documentary comes out.
Errol Morris, director.
We'll get into it. Yes.
I have to reread my non-disparagement contract that I signed with the people, the stupid people that made the film first.
Non-disclosures don't mean shit anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, as you say that, and I'm the one that gets locked down and sued for right. Them never able to work again.
All right. Well, you know, just finish the next book. Tom is working on another book. That'll be out in about a month.
Stop it. 20 years.
All right, Tom. Thanks for talking.
Can Tom have AI ask him? Is he looking into having AI help him write? It's like having the.
Are you going to get AI to help you write? Mike wants to know.
If I knew how to use it, yeah, in a heartbeat. But I still don't understand what all that stuff is. You know, I'm not that tech savvy.
Well, you need to get one of your young friends, all those guys that you hang out with, to come over. They're very tech savvy. What are those guys' names?
The Grindr Boys?
Over Owen. I'm sure he could help me.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And to keep things safe, send your daughters over, Gibbs, so
not a chance.
Everything will be kosher.
All right. Sounds good, Tom. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for just staying on top of the news.
Always. That's what we do. We try to bring it to America.
There you go. All right. So long. Happy Sunday.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So he doesn't think there's going to be any big news.
I know. I predicted that. I told you.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I mean, it's like, I know Trump is feeling way more emboldened this time, but it's like there were reasons he didn't release it last time, and now... I mean, I guess what I'm saying is maybe the records have changed since then, but it just seems that there's ways not to release the most damning stuff. And that guy Jolly, while he was a professor at UCLA, Tom found the evidence where MK Ultra had destroyed almost all of the research and the documents, and
right.
in one of the boxes in the archives at UCLA. He found one piece of paper that was mixed with other like orders for printers and stuff like that, that was damning. And that's in his book, you know, where basically Jolly told Washington, we've had success. We planted false memories in a human's brain through a combination of hypnosis and hallucinogenics. And, Mission accomplished.
Can we plant some memories for me of, like, you know, sleeping with Heidi Klum? Like, can you put something like that into my brain using LSD?
I thought that's aiming high. I was like, can you plan a, like, can I remember to go to the gym? Can you plant that memory where I promise myself I won't be a piece of garbage?
Can you plant the memory of me quitting Ellen DeGeneres after the first year? all right, what's this about Epstein?
Well, not everything's going to be revealed because Republican Congress members, Republicans, are calling on President Donald Trump to release evidence related to the case of disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. The representatives have pushed for the release of unredacted versions of Epstein's flight logs and the complete version of Ghislaine Maxwell's, quote, little black book. A few pages of the book were released in a redacted version during Maxwell's 2021 child sex trafficking trial. However, the full unredacted version has never been released to the public. And to that, I'm imagining Trump's like, I thought we moved on. I thought we moved on from the white freak-offs to the black freak-offs. Can we please just focus on the blacks? The whites, it's old news. It's about the blacks now.
I mean, the irony is, if John F. Kennedy had been alive in 2017, he would have racked up a lot of miles on the Epstein jet.
Yes.
But he'd deny it. I asked not what Jeffrey Epstein could do for me.
Ich bin ein Islander.
So, I guess there's a lot of names. There's names of the kids in there. It's like a children's book.
Yeah, exactly. All right, more politics. I love this story this week. Lauren Boebert, a complete joke of a human, was forced to apologize after trying to kick out a, quote, guy from the women's bathroom at the Capitol. Lauren Boebert stormed into a woman's restroom in the Capitol to get a guy removed by security on Thursday. She was overheard on the House floor telling members that she had discovered Delaware Democrat Sarah McBride in the women's room. McBride, the first transgender member of Congress, is not permitted to use the women's bathrooms after Speaker Mike Johnson renewed a ban on transgender people using single-sex bathrooms. Boebert admitted she, quote, made an error regarding a mistaken identity, and then she apologized and said, I learned a lesson. She didn't, and it won't happen again. It will.
Well, you got to make clear that it was not this woman, Sarah McBride. It was just another woman who happened to be in there.
Right. The woman said she intends to follow the rule as she always has. But Boebert thought she saw a trans person, and it turned out just to be a woman. But I think Boebert had every right to react that way, because if it were a man, I mean, it's only how long is it before she just grabs his junk and starts like jerking him? Because that's what she does in theaters, playing Beetlejuice the musical with families
around. I forgot about that. Yeah, she can't be trusted. I mean, if she can't be trusted in a crowd of 3,000 people, how she could be trusted in a lone bathroom?
Yeah, exactly.
But also, this trans woman, I mean, she might be dressed like a woman and she might sound like a woman and speak like a woman, but make no mistake, she's still shitting like a dude. and talking like a dude from the stall. You know that after straining out a big one, she probably said to the stall, hey girl, just took the Browns to the Super Bowl. Flush.
That's what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Dr. Fauci is on his own. President Donald Trump has revoked security protection for former top U.S. health official Anthony Fauci, who has faced death threats since leading the country's COVID-19 response. Quote, you can't have a security detail for the rest of your life because you work for the government, Trump said with absolutely no irony, as he and Melania have and will enjoy full-time security detail for the rest of their lives because they work for the government. So Fauci has these people out there actively threatening him, death threats coming in. So no more security. So I wonder how Fauci can hide. Oh, you know what? Why doesn't he wear a mask? That's going to be my official advice to Fauci. Wear a mask. Lay low.
And the people that are going to shoot him are going to be wearing a mask too. yeah. By the way, let's make a bet right now. $50 on the first attempt on his life. The under-over is January 6th of next year. I'm betting there will be an attempt on his life before January 6th of next year. Do you want to take that bet?
Yeah, I'll take that bet. Now, we're probably going to get into arguments over, like, if they heard, like, death threats are coming in. So a death threat doesn't count. And if there's a death threat and they go and they find a guy in his apartment, I don't think that counts.
No, there has to be in process, an attempt. Like, they find a guy with a gun near his house. It has to be like there's got to be some ammunition involved.
So if he's in his car and they find him, that's an attempt.
If they find him in Fauci's car?
No, in his own car, like near Fauci's home.
Only if he has a weapon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay. An Alabama Starbucks employee opened the drive-thru window to help a customer, and one of the customer's monkeys, one of them, leapt from the customer's car, attacking the employee. Quote,
as will happen.
I was working in the drive-thru when the lady came through with two monkeys in her car. I'd never interacted with her. She pulled up to the window and rolled it down, and the monkey jumped out up my hand and started gnawing on my hand. She said the monkey then ran up her arm and jumped onto her head. It bit my ear. I don't remember this, but one of my coworkers took it off my head and threw it out the window.
Put it in the blender, man.
Yeah, right? The cops showed up. They asked how big the monkey was. The woman said, venti. And she said, what color? And she said, latte. And the cop said, did he fuck you in the ear? And she said, two pumps.
The cop went right to that question.
Yep. Did he fuck you in the ear? Don't you remember that old joke about the monkey fucking the guy in the ear?
No.
Oh, God. It's a classic.
That's not the one with the dog and the gun.
No.
All right. Here's the thing. Well, this is why Starbucks, by the way, needs to unionize. You got to have protection. And I'm sure it's in the union will be like, is there monkey protection for our employees?
Yeah.
Because now this is a hazard at the work site. But, all right, so I'm driving, and I have two wild monkeys in my car. And then I'm like, you know what this needs, this scenario? This needs caffeine.
If you're not worked up enough having two wild monkeys in the car, caffeine's not going to do it.
He probably did think about this. Like, all right, I need a coffee because it's hard keeping up with the primates. Let's face it. And he's like, I don't think it's going to go well if I leave them in the car in a parking lot. And who knows what could happen. You know, people freak out when they see you leave cracked windows and a little dog. Now there's going to be two primates running around a car. So he probably thought he was doing the right thing going to the drive-thru.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of those videos. The algorithm's gotten to know me, and it knows that I enjoy fast food restaurant fights. But at the top of my list are when people attack the person through the drive-through window,
yeah,
and then they fight back. And there's some great ones.
Oh, no, I know. And milkshakes are thrown and the whole thing.
Yes, yes.
You know what would be the freakiest sight is to see one of these Waymos, to see one of these driverless cars with two monkeys in it. Even the monkeys will be like, this is weird.
Dude, I was in San Francisco and I took a Waymo and it was so trippy being alone in a car. And I was just thinking about San Francisco and the reason I love it. The reason I've always loved San Francisco is it's a walking city. The interactions with so many different types of people. It's a city where people live downtown. It's not like a beltway where everybody lives out in the suburbs. And so I took a Waymo to my hotel. My hotel had a kiosk check-in. So you check yourself in. I go to the room, jerk off to some porn.
Okay.
And then I ordered Uber Eats that brought my food over and dropped it in front of my door. And I just thought to myself, this is the opposite of everything I love about San Francisco. I have not interacted. It's been 6 hours. I have not interacted with a human being on my trip to San Francisco.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. That is very odd. West of the Mississippi, one of the most social cities.
Yeah.
And yet you're doing it that way. I do want to say before you start the next story. So my stories were documents being revealed, executive orders, what the president's going to reveal, then and something that happened at the Capitol, and then Fauci, you know, this, and then your two stories are Chai Monkey and Jerk Off. All right.
I mean, look, I'm on the road. I got things on my mind.
Yes, you do.
Being an outlaw in Mississippi, this could have been a Mississippi man. Could be as simple as busting a nut, or at least that's what a state senator is proposing with a new law that effectively bans masturbation for men.
I'm going to move to Mississippi if they pass this law.
Yeah, maybe you'll get some work done.
I need structure. I need that in my life.
Yep. The Contraception Begins at Erection Act aims to block men from spreading or wasting their seed unless they intend to make a baby. The bill does have some exceptions, especially in regard to activities related to baby-making endeavors, including sperm donation. Mm-hmm. The proposed law, which was introduced Monday and is currently in committee, would see men hit with pretty stiff fines.
Oh.
For solo ejaculation, first-time violators would be hit with $1,000, second time, $5,000. Luckily, I'm never hitting that $5,000 at this point in my life, unless they space these violations out by 48 hours.
Yeah.
By the way, how are they going to police this? I mean, how are they going to find out? It's not like we're masturbating, you know, it's not like there's like streaming video cameras aimed at every guy while he's watching porn on his laptop, you know?
And you could pull the old move that I'm getting better at, which is just fall asleep during it and never get to fruition.
You haven't done that.
Yeah. And then I've woken up and continued. Not joking. That's how diseased I am. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know what you're doing is you're setting the bar too high. You know, you can't wait for the perfect scene and for it to go on for 11 minutes at the right camera angle. You got to get what you can in 5 minutes and call it a day.
I don't fall asleep during the search. I fall asleep when I've found pay dirt. It's unbelievable. I'm trying to, and we can now, it's a little safer conversation, but we talked about this before the podcast. It's that serotonin release or whatever it is. Like, you're looking for this feel good. It's self-soothing. You're looking for this feel good thing and you so want it before you go to sleep. And meanwhile, sleep is the ultimate, you know, re-rack of your good energy and all that stuff. Yet I'm just too dumb to be like, why don't you just go to sleep? It's kind of like falling asleep to TV, which is what you want to do. And then you wake up and you start changing the channel. I've done that also.
I really think this dopamine thing, and we talked about it before.
That's
the show.
That's what it is. That's what I meant. Yeah, right.
We both have ADHD, and this need to spike our energy, because ADHD means that your mind is at one wavelength and your body is at the other, and you're trying to get them to connect. And the brain basically is at a lull. And so you're looking for ways physically. That's why we drink a lot of caffeine. That's why you got to take stimulants like Ritalin, because you're trying to jack everything up so your mind will engage again. And so when you're trying to write a script alone in an apartment, good luck.
I know. So back to this Mississippi thing. It'll be interesting to see if they pass this law. I'll tell you what. They better pass some gun laws fast. You're having guys walk around with figuratively loaded guns. tempers will be a little more inflamed, I would have to
right.
say.
Yeah, I think it's...
Tempers a little shorter, maybe a lot shorter.
And to go darker, I think that there's going to be more aggressive behavior towards women. I mean, is that a stretch to say that?
Or men, especially if it's these Southern dudes who have been repressing it, you know? And now, I mean, I don't think they're already lying. So why wouldn't they lie about this if they're going on men's sites?
More like I love Mr. Sippy.
Oh, look at that. Let's move on to entertainment. Let's go on entertainment. On that note, wow. All right, so the Oscar noms are out. And, you know, working on the Golden Globes, I kind of got to know, without seeing many of them, I got to know a lot of these movies anyway. There's a lot of snubs and all that. But one thing I liked was even NPR. Keep in mind I'm reading NPR. You'd be hard-pressed to find a more woke, right, media outlet. This is what they said about Emilia Perez, which has 13 nominations. I will leave it at this. The tone-deaf, mystifyingly bad musical about a trans-Mexican cartel leader provides the kind of insight into Mexican culture and revelations about the trans experience that you'd reasonably expect from a cis Frenchman writer-director Jacques Audiard. Like, there are so many people, like at NPR, who want to like this movie because it's outrageous. I mean, it's a musical about someone, a cartel leader that goes trans. And I guess the actress or the trans actor, I don't even know how to say it, is very good because sometimes women are called actors, just so everyone knows what I just did there. But anyway, but it's apparently terrible.
Well, I pulled up a couple other reviews because there are certain movies that they check enough boxes that the reviewer will be in hot water if they don't go a certain way. So this is from The New Yorker, also a very left-leaning paper, magazine. For the most part, it seems as if Audiard can't be bothered. Emilia Perez presents twists and turns that exhaust themselves in the strain to stoke excitement. The movie is a wild ride to nowhere.
Nice.
And then the Chicago Tribune, also left-leaning, says, Audiard commits the cardinal sin of the musical comedy. He has made a movie that is neither funny nor features any good music.
That's perfect. Yeah. It's exactly like The Bear. That's in the comedy musical variety. It's like you're neither.
Right, right.
At least it's not claiming to be a musical. So anyway, you can go on and read the snubs. It's such a, you know, that was one of the huge challenges on the Golden Globes was people, there's no shared knowledge of the movies. It's not like Saving Private Ryan's out or Titanic or whatever, or even in the last few years, like even The Irishman, there was sort of a shared knowledge of it. Even if you didn't see it, you had heard the story, what it was about, that it was too long and all that stuff. This year, there are so many movies. And who's going to movies anymore? It's really pretty crazy.
Well, I think the two movies that people are aware of from this year, actually, I don't even know that they're calendar year, because the Oscars that are nominated have to have been out by December 31st, right?
I believe so.
Because the Bob Dylan movie, I don't know if the Bob Dylan movie was out in time, but people talked about
that. It's nominated.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. And then the other one people talked about is the one about that prostitute.
Which, Anora.
Anora, yeah. People said that was actually very good.
Not a prostitute. You mean a wife who was a dancer? I think that's what
you
mean.
Oh, is that right?
I mean, I guess she's a prostitute. Yeah. I mean, I would say her main job is stripper.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, what is a prostitute? It's a very hazy question because if you're a woman who's a stripper and you're using your body sexually to make money and men are, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Men go to the VIP room. They go to strip clubs so they can go to the VIP room.
I can cut you off. This is already, she then met him another day for paid sex. So
okay, there we go. Got it. I think that's a prostitute,
that's
Mike.
That's not a spoiler. Well, it's a spoiler of the first 20 minutes of the movie. That's all.
Okay.
Though.
All right.
Let's make America Florida. Here we go. So what we got here, I beg your pardon? A Florida man who is facing criminal charges for assaulting police officers in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol has found himself in custody again.
No.
Just 1 day after being pardoned by President Donald Trump. Daniel Charles Ball, 39 years old, was arrested on gun charges Wednesday in Tampa. An indictment from August charging him with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon cited his past convictions for domestic violence, strangulation, resisting law enforcement, and battery on a law enforcement officer. So this is an indictment from August, but anyway, he was arrested on gun charges.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, you know, these guys and women, how many of the people, I think, wasn't there like 1,500 people that were arrested in conjunction with, or I think were charged in the September or the January 6th attacks?
I know there was a bunch.
How many were women?
I know a bunch of women were in the Capitol because Boebert tried to get them all out of the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they could have cleared out the Capitol. Just tell Boebert that they're all in the bathroom.
Boebert, the K. Lauren, come here. All the rioters are trans. And they're coming in to use the bathrooms.
Yeah, we just saw a woman standing and urinating in the bathroom. Get her. Go get her.
And they're not even like, and meanwhile, Boebert's like, well, listen, as far, I know one of them took a dump on Nancy Pelosi's desk. Fine. If they're trans, that's fine. No matter what, that person's doing it right.
Yeah, as long as they don't go in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird, too, that you would feel threatened in a women's room if a guy came in? You're in a stall, it's locked, and you're taking a shit. It's so unattractive to think that you would want to have sex with somebody while they're urinating and shitting.
What do you mean? There's a whole subcategory of people who that's why they're there.
Germans, yeah.
Germans. Some comedian, so it's not me, and you can find him, I guess, if you Google this, but he was great. He's like, so for these people who state that their reason again for the bathroom ban against trans women is because it could be a predator who was born biologically male, I guess, if I don't even know how to phrase it, but who has now decided to gain access to the women's room by being trans. That's what they're going to do. And he goes, if you're one of these people, and there's a lot that's what they're really scared of and stating, that means you think that a predator man is like, I want to go in the women's room and I want to be a predator, and I want to attack these women. But there's a rule that says I can't go in the ladies' room, so I guess I can't.
I know. That's a really good point. I never thought about it in those terms. Yeah,
I know. So anyway, I want to give credit to this guy, but he came across my feed. You'll see him. He's a stand-up, and boy, I wish I could really say his name.
Or
I
you
just
can
don't
see
know
me.
It.
I'll be doing it in Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend at the Improv. Should we go to Florida? Should we go to Georgia?
Yeah, let's go to Georgia. Here we go. This is a short one. Let's make Georgia, Florida. A Georgia man uses a flamethrower to melt ice on his street. A man in icy Newton County, Georgia, used a flamethrower to clear the street in front of his house. And I just like to say, when I went there, I was like, I know exactly what this guy is going to look like. And sure enough, that is exactly what this guy looked like. I'm just glad he's not using the flamethrower on black guys jogging. Let's just say that in Georgia.
God. Yeah, I mean, this is why you don't ask your Vietnam veteran husband to do chores around the house.
Yeah. Also, why are you married to someone who doesn't know that salt could also do it?
Yeah. Talk about bringing a gun to a knife fight.
We're moving. Oh, yeah, exactly. I thought that was your segue into sports.
Let's do some sports.
Let's go do sports. Here we go. Oh, my God. You send me this video of the Philly mayor who flubs the Eagles chant where they spell Eagles.
Yeah.
E-L, right out of the gate. Second letter, L-E-L-G-S-E-S. So This is hats off to Philly for this one. A very rare compliment. They're already printing up T-shirts that are ELGSES.
And you know they're going to chant that at the game on Sunday.
Probably. Oh, my God.
Speaking of the Eagles, last week we had $100 riding on a bet that we'd made previously, and we decided to go double or nothing. Now, it might have been a $50 bet, but I'll say $100 because that makes it a little more dramatic on our double or nothing.
Oh, man.
And the spread was 6.5 points. And so you felt conflicted because you hate the Eagles. You hate Philadelphia. You don't want them to win. But there's a part of you that thinks they're going to win. So you take the bet. And not only did the Eagles win, they didn't cover the spread. They missed the spread by 0.5 point.
It's
so
my worst nightmare.
Loser. Yeah.
In the matrix of what could have happened, that's the worst case scenario. And do you know the spread opened at 6 points? And it moved, believe it or not, at game time, I think it was 7 maybe even. And they won by 6. Yeah. And they were giving away either 6.5 or 7. It was and not only that, it could have gone the other way. I forget what the play was. It so easily could have gone the other way. Was there a missed field goal? Whatever it was a bad beat.
It was an ugly game. There was a lot. I mean, the Eagles are famously torturing their fans by getting big leads and then blowing them late in the game and then squeaking out a victory.
Oh, no, the Rams were marching down the field. That's what it was.
Right. So I'm going to let you redeem yourself. The Eagles are playing tomorrow or today as you hear this podcast. They're playing against, I believe, they're the Washington Commanders now, but then I heard that they're allowed to change their name back, and then somebody said, no, they can't change their name back to the Redskins, but they're being allowed to use the logo again, which I said, well, that's like saying, well, we're bringing back the swastika, but you can't say Nazi.
Maybe. All right, wait, what do we got here?
So do you want to take for $50, do you want to take Washington and I'll take the Eagles? I don't even know what the point spread is.
I'm going to look up on my dumb app here, but this will be obviously just like I honored the point spread moving. I honored it at game time. I'll do the
same
thing.
Whatever it is at game time.
I'll do the same thing for you.
I'm guessing the point spread is 3.5 with the Eagles favored.
Well, it's 12.5 for the Grizzlies over the Jazz. Let me try to find football here. all right, here we go.
I'm psyched. I got the day free.
Wait, what did you think the spread was?
3.5. Eagles by 3.5.
Eagles are giving away 6 as of now.
Whoa.
And the over-under is 47.5.
That's high.
The Bills Chiefs, man, check this out. Chiefs are giving away 2 points.
I would take the Bills on that one.
And that's 48.5. I refuse. Even in my jaded, negative football, NFL experience in my life, where I don't care, there's no way I'm going to in any way root for the Chiefs over the Bills. I will not put money on the Chiefs. I will not. I can't even depersonalize it. I want the Bills to beat them so badly it's immeasurable.
All right, well, I don't know who's going to win that.
To beat the Eagles. So I want both underdogs, it turns out.
All right, I'm not going to touch the Chiefs game because I just don't – I would never bet against Mahomes. I would never bet against the Bills are so fucking good right now. So I'm only going to bet on the Eagles game. All right, so I got $50 on the Eagles.
We want to do 50, huh?
All right, what do you want to do?
All right, we can do 50. I got the Commanders.
You got the Commanders.
Whatever the spread is at game time. Yeah. Oh, my God. Here we are once again. It's at 6. Now it's going to move to 7, and the Commanders are going to win by 6, or the Philly or whatever is going to win by 6.
All right, let's do some letters to the editor.
All right, here we go.
Even though people love hearing us talk about sports. Ryan in Chicago says, I think starting a Patreon makes sense if only to add the good folks at Midcoast Media so they get paid. Yeah. One thing you could make Patreon member exclusive is the
cartoon.
Who wrote
this, Chris?
Cartoon caption contest. You could post the cartoon in the Patreon app, make it visible to patrons. All right, that's something to think about. Okay. We are thinking about Patreon very soon, people. We'll keep you updated, but we're going to make it worth it. We're going to make the content so good that you feel good about it. And this is Ben says, fellas, I've noticed lately watching some other popular YouTubers that they have been beeping out certain words, not necessarily curse words, guessing to possibly avoid getting demonetized by the algorithm on Instagram. Most listeners won't miss a beat on what you're saying. Maybe this could help you guys with monetization on YouTube. Well, thanks, Ben. Why don't you go yourself?
Bleep, bleep. Yeah,
I think that's probably a good idea, but I don't know. That's
I know, but then we have to like mark them and all that. Nah. I'm wondering,
why don't we just self-censor?
Why don't we just self-censor?
Yes.
You can't put in your two stories that you put in today, then.
Oh, you can't talk about jerking off when you're supposed to be writing.
Falling asleep
and with your dick in your hand.
What? That was a whole very respectful conversation about self-soothing. How dare you?
You fell asleep with a T-bone hanging off your shaft.
By the way, the first few seconds, you're like, wait, did I? No, I'm not done. Got to continue. I see things through to the end. All right, let's go. Oh, merch, let's just talk about it. It's not its own category. How about this? You ready? I did a big shipment of koozies, and I think I'm caught up. So here it is. Write Greg, whatever address it is. Email Greg. I give it. I mean, I think they must have arrived already. It was a week ago. The koozies went out.
All right. So if you want one, go to fitzdog.com. There's a link to get the koozie. If you want a T-shirt, same thing. Fitzdog.com. Get a take-it-y. Oh, my God. I had like four different people wear Sunday Papers T-shirts to my shows this weekend.
I got
to
get one.
If you have one. I know. I bought one, but I need to buy a bunch. So, but we want to. I don't know. I'm stuck with a lot of fucking Grapefruit Simmons T-shirts in my attic.
I got one. Hold on. You want to see this?
Yeah.
Look at this. In the closet.
There it is. Not even out of the plastic.
No, collector's item. Yeah. I'm not going to ruin this.
Yeah, the values are really going up over time.
Look, there's a barcode on it and everything. Uh-huh.
Yep. I tell you a story. Like everybody knows the story about Grapefruit Simmons. I'm not going to retell the story, but I told it a few times, and then somebody designed that logo, Grapefruit Simmons, and so I go, "Oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to sell all these T-shirts." So I order boxes of them. I ordered like 500 T-shirts and extra small, extra, triple X, and so I head off to Connecticut and I pack one of those giant suitcases that you have to check. Stuff it with T-shirts. I fly to New York, rent a car, drive up to Connecticut, unpack, bring all the shirts down to the show, and then on the show that night during my set, I tell the Grapefruit Simmons story, and it shits the bed. For whatever reason, nobody thought it was funny that night, and now I'm standing out front as people are filing out, and they're looking at a T-shirt that's reminding them of the worst joke in my set that night. And one person bought a shirt and she goes, sorry. And that was the last time I sold
them. Can I write off this donation? That's amazing that sometimes that story, which seems bulletproof, like just will not work at all. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So now what, you have to ship them off like people usually do with loser shirts? So like all these kids in Africa are walking around with 49ers shirts and one poor kid has a Grapefruit Simmons shirt?
At least the 49ers had a shot at one point.
Yeah, they came within 3 points. Exactly. They had won their division. That Grapefruit hadn't won shit. All right, let's sadden it up. Let's sadden it down.
Time to sadden it down.
So obituary, listen, Garth Hudson, who was the last surviving member of the band, passed away. So it's bigger than Garth Hudson, although all due respect to him, he was this wizard and really was almost, just see the last waltz. Everything will be explained. His history. I thought it was one of actually the most interesting parts of The Last Waltz, which had a billion interesting parts, but it was really great. I will just read this one thing from The New Yorker. On Tuesday, Garth Hudson, who played organ, accordion, saxophone, and much more as a member of the band, perhaps still the group that best embodies the glorious, lawless amalgamation of styles at the very heart of rock and roll, died at the age of 87 near Woodstock, New York. Hudson's bandmates, the guitarist Robbie Robertson, the drummer Levon Helm, the bassist Rick Danko, and the pianist and multi-instrumentalist Richard Emanuel, often described him as scholarly, nimble, and discerning, a professor type at loose in a scene dominated, by beautiful buffoons. The Rockabilly singer Ronnie Hawkins, who was backed by the band in the early 60s when they were still known as the Hawks, understood Hudson as a singular type of dude. Quote, he heard all sorts of weird sounds in his head and he played like the Phantom of the Opera. Most organ players in those days would just play through everything, but Garth would lay back, hit licks, hit horn shots. He knew exactly what to put in and what to leave out.
Yeah, had a haunting sound. I can remember that one song that just starts with,
Yeah. I'm forgetting the name of it, but that was a real powerhouse organ.
Yeah, I mean, it is sad. You think about like this band and that he lived in Woodstock, which was this seminal time in all their lives where they put out that, was it called Pink Houses? Was that the album?
Songs from Big Pink.
Songs from Big Pink. You know, where they all lived in this big pink house one summer and you see films of it and they're just fucking shirtless, playing frisbee, drinking beers, and then they'd jump in the house and they'd record a great song and then they'd go swim in the river and ride motorcycles and then they'd go write another song. And it was just like this really magic moment in time, and that's great that they all kind of retired up there, or he did, and what's his name? Who's the guy you were friends with?
Levon Helm. There on YouTube, there's a thing called The Band, The Making of Up on Cripple Creek. And Ron was, I believe, was, and he's like, that's the first time before Stevie Wonder that someone had used this keyboard as a wow, wow, wana, wana, wana. And he even says he thought it was the Jew harp when he first heard it. And he couldn't believe that Garth Hudson was the one in the band making that sound on the song Up on Cripple Creek.
I can't believe the instrument was called the Jew harp.
Yeah, that was another one. But here's Ron, and he's talking, and he's like, yeah, it's way before, I can't play it because I'll ruin our algorithm, but Up on Cripple Creek, when you hear that, when it then re-racks for the next part of the song, that's Garth on keyboards.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
All right, let's cheer up.
Let's cheer up. Here we go. We're going to cheer up with some funnies.
All right, speaking of koozies, if you don't know about it, there is a competition that burns bright every week on the Sunday papers where we present you with one frame of a comic. You then write down hilarious jokes that we read on the show. If we deem it to be the funniest one, you get a koozie sent to your house in no less than 6 months. And this
now,
week's...
I go back and I find your emails to me. I've emailed out to all the winners I could find, but I bet you failed to send me a couple of the winners.
That's so probably true.
If you've won, remind Greg.
Remind me if you won and you didn't get it. We'll get it out to you. So this the strip from last week is a guy in bed. He's got a turban on his head. He's shirtless, and he's playing a flute. There's a woman next to him who's in a frilly negligee. Her arms are crossed. She looks a little bit put off. And they've got a blanket over them, and in his lap there appears to be a bulge. Now, the first joke comes from Sade, who says, I'd say you're more of a worm charmer.
I'm already going to tell you, I haven't read any. That one's going to be hard to beat, I think.
Chuck, no, there's two really good ones later.
Oh, sorry, Sade.
Chuck said, embarrassed, Audrey realized she should have asked more questions about the trouser snake Doug highlighted in his Tinder profile. Little wordy, but not bad.
Yeah, a little long. There are points off for the length of that, but yes.
How about this one? Steve says, look like you have a reptile dysfunction.
Ah.
That's good.
That is very good wordplay.
David Bentley says, I guess we have a ceasefire.
All right.
Rich Butchko said, Kenny G post-brain surgery. Jason Cobb said, Kenny G's idea of foreplay. Colin says, I'd be pissed if I still had my clitoris.
What?
She's Muslim. Well, he's Muslim. That's good.
That's pretty good.
Matthew DeFrancisco said, just admit it. You wish I was blondie, Greg.
All right.
Kelly Holmes says, great. Can you charm this pussy next?
Okay.
Dave Williams says, if music is the food of love, I'm going on a hunger strike.
All right, Dave.
Willem said, I wish you played the oboe instead. Okay. She wants some Berg Dirk. Kate Purcell said, I'm not sure taps is the best choice.
Not bad, Kate.
Jack Kellner said, not sure about your dick, but my legs are definitely getting longer. You got to see the picture. Their legs are very long.
Very absurd.
Let's see.
No. Right.
Tim Bagan said, I should be blowing while you do the fingering.
That's not bad. That guy found some words in there to make some good wordplay.
Bruce Wise said, honey, if you really need to play Jethro Tull for this, I'll just have to charge you extra.
It's a prostitute all of a sudden. Okay.
Ron Dvorak said, learn a new song. Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer only gets you halfway there. All right. What do you like, Mike?
Halfway there. Yeah. Sorry, Sade. I think you were... A reptile dysfunction is high-level wordplay.
Yes.
I wonder if, like, ChatGPT could have come up with that.
No, like, I don't think so.
You know, that's one of the things they do. It's like, think in a millisecond, think of every word associated with this scenario and then every word associated with the other one, and let's try to make a joke. I really like that a lot. And then I also liked I still had my clitoris.
I like that a lot.
She does have dark hair. He has a turban on. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think that joke, should we get awarded to both of them?
Sure, let's do that. A reptile dysfunction from Steve, and then Colin's joke, I'd be pissed if I still had my clitoris. We are just giving it away this week. Two koozies going out to you. Next week's caption is, there's a baseball team. They're in the outfield. The pitcher's on the mound. The second baseman is standing there, and he's holding hands with a woman who's in a short skirt, and she's got kind of saggy boobs, but she's smiling. And then you see a guy in the outfield. They're all wearing red shirts, red socks, and it looks like kind of old-timey baseball. But I guess the gist is the second baseman has his mitt on his knee. He's crouched over, but he's also holding hands with this woman. It's a little absurdist, but I feel like last week's was a really good premise. We got amazing jokes this week. So I think these weird ones might be kind of good. And by the way, Jason Love has been our artist for a number of weeks now. If anybody else has one-frame captions you'd like to send in, feel free.
Now, one thing I'm going to say as I study it, I think technically he might be the shortstop, because if you see the pitchers look, because the outfielder is also looking to our left. In other words, it looks like I see what you did, because I thought it was second base at first also. But
yeah,
we're thinking like home plate, you know, that he's going to pitch to his left, the pitcher's left.
Yeah, but if you look at the way the angle of the pitcher's body is, the way his shoulders are squared off, that infielder is behind him.
No, but everyone is looking. Base. Everyone is looking to the left of the. That's the shortstop.
Yeah. All right, let's just say it's either a shortstop or a second baseman. I mean, it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare that you have a shortstop who's a left-handed player.
Ooh, interesting. Maybe that's why he needs and maybe she's going to assist him on a double play.
That's right.
They're already starting.
Yep. All right, Mike. I only got one. The reason why I'm sitting in a conference room, and probably my sound is probably really echoey because it's a giant high-ceiling room.
But
I'm sitting here because the internet in my room did not work, so I was only able to download one cartoon. It's Hagger. Hagger's talking to his daughter, who has the yellow hair, and she has like solid B-cup breasts underneath like a metal brassiere. And she goes, I don't know who to listen to. You say dump Loot, but Mom says don't dump him. And then Loot comes walking in with a plate full of pancakes. And the mother says, Loot makes the most perfect pancakes. And then Hagger goes, listen to your mom.
It seems so un-Hagger like this strip.
Yes, it does.
That seems more like Blondie.
Yes.
Dagwood would say that.
Like he could, Dagwood would give his daughter up to a neighborhood gang of Hell's Angels for a plate of pancakes. Hagger, on the other hand, doesn't need to do that. He's got Helga. She'll make the fucking pancakes.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
And this guy Loot. Read the room, Loot. It's the Middle Ages. You don't have to swoon anybody. You just take them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Doesn't add up.
It's very wholesome.
Yeah.
Very wholesome. All right. So we're moving on to the final comic of the day. And unfortunately, it's Dilbert.
No.
I have not read it at all. Here goes a blind read. It's number 11. I also don't know what that means, but we've been counting from one in order in the article I found them. So that's why I don't know what it means. It's a count up, but it's from, I think, the 15 best, I guess, Dilbert's ever. Here we go. Three frames. First frame, we got three guys there. It's Dilbert. It's some bald guy I don't know. And then it's the smack my bitch up guy with the two cones of hair on his head. And the middle guy, who I don't know, the bald one, goes, I have a vision that our next product will be a tablet computer the size of a dime. In the next frame, he goes, users will lick it and attach it to their eyeballs. And then he goes, can you finish that in a month? And Dilbert says, I can fail at any speed you like.
All right.
You know what? I mean, that's the best one we've read yet.
It is. It is because, you know, it's just very matter of fact. It's flat. It's deadpan. I buy it.
It's the first one I've kind of bought. It's like everyone before this, I would have written a letter to the newspaper. And it just would have said, like, no, thank you. Just no, thank you.
Yeah.
And why am I paying for that? Why is part of the money I'm paying for this subscription going to that person?
Yes.
Put the resources elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean,
especially
when you get the Lockhorns that just, I mean, it's always been a favorite of mine. And I think I've brought you over. I think you're a fan now.
I love the Lockhorns. Yeah. Oh, my God. Effort. Every time, effort.
Effort. Like hard joke writing, nothing. They're not trying to be cute. They're not relying on any emotion except here is a funny joke about a married couple.
Yeah, I'd say effort almost every single time and successful effort most of the time.
Yep. So thank you guys for listening. Once again, if you want to donate money to a great family that lost their home, go to help the Salzmans recover their lives on GoFundMe. Otherwise, just, you know, send the thoughts and the prayers, as Anthony Jeselnik would say, out to California.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything you want to promote, Mike?
You know, I saw a documentary last night. I watched all three, even though I fell asleep during the second one. I woke back up and rallied.
Oh, so you were jerking off during it?
We don't use that phrase. But I wasn't, although she was pretty attractive, I got to say. It was called The Perfect Wife, I believe. It's on Hulu, and it's a three-part series. Turns out all women know all the women who either get murdered or go missing or whatever. Like, so Hannah had already seen it, so I was on my own. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Is she the killer or is she the victim?
You know what it reminded me a lot of? It reminded me a lot of the last season of Fargo.
Oh, I love the last season of Fargo.
Yeah.
With
so
John
I'd say
Hamm?
I'd say you, yes, I'd say you and Aaron should watch it. And if you need me to text it to you because your memory, I will. But it's on Hulu, and it's called The Perfect Wife. It came out a few months ago. And, of course, there's been a podcast and probably a real – this is a documentary, but there might have even been a movie. Who knows?
All right, send it off. I'll watch it. And thank you
but
guys.
But it was well done. I thought it was well done.
Thank you guys for checking in, and I guess we'll see you next week.
Take it, Ish.
Take it, Ish.
There we go.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the news, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes cartoons, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes Florida Man, doo-doo-doo-doo. And more good doo-doo with your hosts, Greg and Mike. Here comes Sunday Papers.
Zaxby's just out Philly the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back with garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.